Welcome to Inside Property with me, Richard Blanco. The Scottish Government and Welsh Assembly have brought in substantial measures that are changing the landscape for the private rented sector. In Wales, landlords and agents were given a deadline of the 23rd of November 2016 to register and license if they manage rented properties. Scotland has a national landlord register since 2006, and in 2016 passed legislation to end no-fault eviction, restrict the frequency of rent increases, and cap them within rent pressure zones. Both Scotland and Wales are introducing model tenancy agreements. Scotland banned letting agent fees to tenants in 2012, and the Westminster government has recently announced it will consult on a similar ban. With over 40 landlord licensing schemes south of the border and ongoing calls for increased security of tenure, could we see regulation in England adopt more ideas from Wales and Scotland? Well, with me to explain, untangle and evaluate this complex set of changes is Beth Ann Jones, Operations Manager from Rent Smart Wales in Cardiff. On the line from Hamilton is David Kendall, Managing Director of Let's Make Homes. From Edinburgh, James Batty, Private Rented Sector Project Manager from Shelter Scotland. And here in the studio is Richard Lambert, Chief Executive Officer of the National Landlords Association. Let me start first of all with you, Beth Ann. The registration scheme in Wales is called Rent Smart Wales, and in many cases, landlords and agents actually need to be licensed too. Tell us a bit about how the system works.
Well, Rent Smart Wales is a brand name for the delivery model, if you like, of implementing registration and licensing for landlords in Wales. It became effective from the 23rd of November last year, and we have a single licensing authority for Wales. That authority is hosted by Cardiff Council, but we work in partnership with the 22 local councils to deliver the scheme. So far, we've had 67,000 landlords register as part of that scheme. And in particular, we've had a real influx over the last month or so as the deadline for enforcement measures was implemented last week.
And it's estimated you've got something like 95,000 landlords. Is that right?
That's the latest estimate, yes. Obviously, we don't have a common register of landlords. That's the purpose of the scheme. And so we don't have accurate numbers of landlords or the condition of properties or, you know, what level of experience or anything about landlords, really. But we, at the beginning of the development of this scheme, I suppose, we had a range in mind of between 70 and 140,000 landlords. As information is coming in, that estimation is being refined, and currently we've got information to indicate that on average a landlord has about 2.09 properties. So that would give us, yeah, a figure of about 95,000 landlords in Wales.
Now, what sort of fines are landlords facing if they haven't already registered? Because the deadline's passed, hasn't it?
That's right. There's a whole range of different fine levels contained within the legislation, ranging from level one, so the level, the lowest fine level, through to an unlimited fine for the more serious offences of not being licensed.
Okay, and any landlords who haven't already registered can go to your website, Rent Smart Wales, and need to do that kind of ASAP, don't they?
Absolutely. That's the message we want to give, is if you haven't complied, then please do so now.
Now, Richard Lambert from the National Landlords Association, Rent Smart Wales is the first scheme that actually includes a compulsory training element, doesn't it, which could be accreditation. How supportive are your members of the scheme? Because accreditation is something the NLA is very supportive of, isn't it?
We support the concept of accreditation, but we've always seen it more as a form of voluntary self-regulation. So while we like the idea of landlords training, and we like the idea of landlords gaining some kind of demonstrable qualification that shows their knowledge and their competence, I think the response from our members has been they felt that the compulsion was unnecessary. And I think, if I can sum it up, they feel picked on.
Okay, and I guess, I mean, I've heard from landlords in Wales that quite a lot of them have enjoyed the training and found it quite useful. You would have thought that some would be quite reluctant. What feedback are you getting?
Well, I think certainly from NLA members, most of the ones that were coming back from our surveys, we find that most landlords in Wales are aware of the Rent Smart Wales scheme. They're aware of what they've got to do, and they are slowly but surely getting on with it. I think the concern is always with these kind of compulsory registration in any format. That goes for the kind of licensing schemes we've seen in England, and indeed for the registration scheme in Scotland. The problem is not the people who know about it and who come forward. The problem is the people who don't know about it, who aren't plugged into the networks, and so just aren't aware of what's expected of them.
Well, you mentioned the scheme in Scotland. James, let me ask you, Scotland has had a national register since 2006. What have been the benefits for the private rented sector? Has it actually improved property conditions, for example?
I mean, it's hard to say whether it's directly contributed to improving property conditions themselves. But what it has done is given local authorities a bit more knowledge about the private rented sector in their areas. So obviously having the contact details of the vast majority of the landlords that operate in their areas has been a benefit. It's enabled them to have more outreach with the sector and run things like good practice forums and set up regular communication with landlords to let them know of things that are changing in the sector, for example, new rules and regulations that are coming in.
And David Kendall, you're based in Hamilton and you have properties in North and South Lanarkshire and also in Aberdeenshire. Your clients have had to register, and as an agent, you're now not able to charge fees to tenants. How has your business been affected by the register and the ban on letting agent fees?
Well, landlord registration, of course, has now gone through at least three cycles for most landlords, because, as you correctly stated, it started in 2006, and landlords have to register every 3 years. Landlords get very little in return for that registration. Some local authorities interact well with the landlords, others are not too interested on interacting. Coming on to letting agent fees, now that's an interesting one, because actually letting agent fees in Scotland have always been illegal. It's just in 2012, Scottish Government actually said, we are going to enforce this legislation. So as a letting agency, we never charge letting agent fees because they have been illegal. Other letting agents have since stopped, since the enforcement came in, but also other letting agents still charge fees. And we have had tenants say to us, you know, especially if they're moving on to another area, they've actually phoned us up. We've had an instance just in the last couple of weeks, a tenant phoning us up and saying, I'm being charged £50, or in fact £50 each visit with a couple, for this new property, which we like because we're moving across to Edinburgh. And what we do, if we question this, we'll lose the property. And the answer is yes, they would have lost the property had they questioned it, I'm sure. And yet the fees are illegal. So certainly what we would like to see as an agency is enforcement. It's okay having all these regulations, but we need to see enforcement, because even when it comes to landlord registration, we know, and Scottish Government will admit, that there are landlords who, despite the fact this has been in there for 10 years, are still operating under the radar and they're still not registered.
Well, this issue of enforcement will be a familiar issue to you, Richard Lambert, with what's going on in England, where there are over 40 licensing schemes now as well. Do you think, have we seen adequate enforcement in England? And in fact, do you think a national register is possible in England as well?
Well, in terms of enforcement, the straight answer is no. Whatever disagreement we had with the borough-wide licensing scheme in Newham, at least the one thing Newham did was they restructured their housing budget and they put £4 million extra into enforcement in the private rented sector. The result of that is that Newham is doing half of all the private rented sector prosecutions in England as a whole. But we've had countless conversations and meetings with local authorities proposing licensing scheme where we've said, how much are you putting into enforcement? And they've looked at us blankly and said, what do you mean? And when we've explained, they said, nothing. And I think that's the eternal problem. Politicians have a touching faith in the ability of increased regulation and legislation to do something, but it really only works if it's enforced properly.
Now, Bethan, this will be an interesting point to put to you, because one of the concerns of landlords and tenants in Wales is that your scheme may have no teeth because there won't be enough investment in enforcement. What would you say to that?
Well, it's true that the responsible landlords will comply first. And, you know, we're really pleased that probably, you know, we've got about 70% of our landlords who have already taken steps, the steps that they need to begin that process of complying. Marketing and comms will still feature quite highly in our strategy, but there will be a need for us to put steps in place to enforce. And we see this as critical. We've got a partnership arrangement in place with all the local authorities, and that's backed up by financial resources, both from Welsh Government itself, but also fees coming from the Rent Smart Wales registration and licensing fees, if you like. In addition, I think the legislation has been helpful to us because it allows us access to data that we didn't previously have access to, or certainly not readily and not on a national basis. So, for example, we now have access to housing benefit data, council tax data and housing enforcement data from all 22 local authorities. And we'll be able to use that to enforce in a strategic way. And let's not forget that in this piece of legislation, we've also got some quite powerful sanctions in place, ranging from fixed penalty notices to prosecutions, rent stopping orders, rent repayment orders. And all of that, I think, will encourage people to come forward and comply. Certainly the message to landlords for me would be, it's in your best interest to comply.
Okay, well, you're listening to Inside Property with me, Richard Blanco. I'm discussing changes to the private rented sector in Scotland and Wales and their broader impact across the UK with my four guests in Cardiff, Bethan Jones, Operations Manager from Rent Smart Wales. On the line from Hamilton, David Kendall, Managing Director of Let's Make Homes. From Edinburgh, James Batty, Private Rented Sector Project Manager from Shelter Scotland. And here in the studio is Richard Lambert, Chief Executive Officer of the National Landlords Association. Now, James, I wanted to ask you about one of the headline changes coming up in Scotland, which will be the introduction of open-ended tenancies. Landlords won't be able to rely on no-fault evictions in future. How much of an issue is security of tenure for tenants in Scotland?
Well, it is currently a pretty big issue, mainly because the kind of typical private renter in Scotland has evolved and changed over the past 10 to 15 years. Along with the size of the sector, it's almost tripled since 1999. And with that, we have more families renting in the private rented sector, around 91,000 households with families rent privately. And also households prevented from accessing home ownership as well, who are now finding themselves in the private rent sector long term. So really there was, in our view, a need to address that and to improve security of tenure specifically for those groups. And that is indeed what the Scottish Government will do from December 2017.
Now, David, I'm curious to ask you how landlords and investors in Scotland are reacting to this big change of not being able to go through the Section 23 no-fault eviction process. It's Section 21, of course, in England.
It's a huge concern for landlords because to evict a tenant on the grounds is very, very difficult and very complex. And indeed, there are some landlords who are saying, you know, time has come for me to leave the market. And there is evidence that some landlords will, as a result of this change, and obviously some of the other changes, the tax situation, et cetera, sell up the portfolios and get out. And yet, when we really look at the figures, we realize that in 99% of cases, it's the tenant who gives notice. And landlords actually want the tenants to stay long term. Very, very few landlords will give notice unless there has been a breach in the tenancy, particularly non-payment of rent or antisocial behaviour. And antisocial behaviour, of course, can be something which is very, very difficult to prove. Therefore, a landlord would go down the no-fault ground, which, of course, is going to be removed. So it's of great concern.
And James, I mean, some of the research and statistics we see shows that the average tenancy lasts for something like 4 years, given the current system. So why do we need to have these ongoing contracts?
Well, for us, a big proportion of our caseload comes from the private rented sector, around just over 42% of the calls to our free housing advice helpline relate to private rented sector issues, and much of them related to issues where tenants, for example, complain about repairs issues to their landlord and also to the private rented housing panel, the tribunal which hears repairs issues in Scotland. They would take an issue to that tribunal, and then only for the landlord to decide to serve them with a notice to quit, then they obviously would have to leave that property. So our hope is that with this new tenancy, that situation won't arise anymore, and private tenants will more ably be able to assert their legal rights in respect of repairs and other issues in relation to private rented sector tenancies.
And just coming back to you, David, there's some concern that rent pressure zones that will place a cap in certain areas as to how much rents can be increased. The local authority will have to apply to the Minister for Housing. There's some concern that this could thwart investment in certain areas, or the measure might get overused. What are your thoughts on rent pressure zones?
I think it's unnecessary. I think we should let the market dictate what the rents are. And the reality is that when this legislation was proposed, it was when Aberdeen was surging ahead and rents were going up dramatically. And that's a very good example of how the market has controlled the rents, because now in Aberdeen, rents have decreased very, very significantly, and the market has taken care of that situation. So actually, there would be just a handful of postcodes within the Edinburgh area where this is likely to be implemented. But the result will be, the overall result will be across Scotland, is that landlords now will start to increase their rents on an annual basis. And most landlords, particularly I operate North Lanarkshire and South Lanarkshire predominantly, have not increased their rents for existing tenants probably for at least a decade, because rents have been pretty static. But now they will have this focus on the calculation for increasing rents, they will say, well, you know what, I'll do that. And we will see rents rise, I'm sure, as a result of this legislation.
Richard Lambert, do you see any scope for the Westminster government borrowing any of these ideas, like rent pressure zones, or indeed removing no-fault eviction?
Given the way that the Westminster government is behaving at the moment, I wouldn't put my money on anything not happening. We didn't see the changes to taxation coming. In fact, the Conservatives were dismissing those policies right up until the moment they introduced them. Ministers were saying only two or three months ago they didn't think banning letting agent fees was a good idea. That changed last week. It's really interesting from an observer of the political scene just to see how the way that the Westminster government is behaving towards landlords.
And James, do you see this as a surge towards the tenants, sort of rebalancing the situation more in the tenants' favour? And do you think we might see some of these ideas from Scotland filter through to England?
My view is that I think that the tenants do need more rights in respect of private renting in Scotland and in England. But in terms of, you know, the precise reforms that are pursued by the government of Westminster, I think that they need to find a reform which works for England in the same way that in Scotland we hopefully have found a reform that works for Scotland by consulting with the sector and coming up with changes to the private rented sector market that will work in the long term.
Now, Beth, and sometimes landlords argue that schemes like Rent Smart Wales are brought in because they're kind of ideas cherished by politicians, and they're more about political dogma than necessarily meeting the needs of tenants. How much have you involved tenants in the creation of Rent Smart Wales, and what sort of feedback have you been getting from them?
I suppose the first thing to say there is that this piece of legislation was brought in following the Welsh Government being given powers to make legislation, and there was a quite a lengthy evidence collection and consultation period that involved a whole host of different stakeholders, including the Tenants Federation, Shelter, CAB Cymru and the NUS. We've continued to involve those groups in a stakeholder group that we have post-implementation of the legislation. And we, you know, we value their input, and certainly all of our stakeholders, so tenant organisations and others, have been very engaged with us in spreading the word. So it's been quite positive in that sense, I think. But tenants in general, as individuals, are quite difficult to engage with because of the temporary nature of their interest in their home, and potentially as well because of the fear of reprisal. But one of the things that we are really positive about at the minute is that we're seeing the impact of the marketing in the tenant area, if you like, and already we're seeing tenants notify us of non-compliant landlords and agents. So they're already seeing the value of the scheme in that sense.
Now, David, how are you seeing these changes impact on tenants? Because obviously you're coming into contact with lots of tenants as an agent.
Yes, a lot of tenants are totally unaware of the changes in legislation. And they rely on the agent to tell them. Of course, some agents do, some agents don't. There is in Scotland, we have a tenant information pack, which is a very comprehensive document, which outlines the responsibilities of tenants and the responsibilities of the landlords. Now, they are issued at the start of the tenancy. What percentage of those are actually read is quite debatable. But there is a lot of information out there for tenants. But I think the most important thing for tenants is to have a warm, secure home, which is a place they can indeed call home. And certainly that's something that we as an agent always try to provide for our tenants.
I'm curious, David, as well, as to how landlords might be adapting their strategy in Scotland. I'm thinking as well about landlords with student lets, because presumably they would assume normally they'd be there for sort of 9 months, but they're going to have to issue ongoing tenancies to students.
That is a huge problem, particularly also for landlords in Edinburgh who do properties for the Edinburgh Festival and obviously let them out then and then go back to the student market for the rest of the year. This issue has not been addressed and is of great concern.
Let me put that to James. How do you think students will fare with the new system, James?
Well, the view from student representative organisations was pretty clear, and that was that they too needed and wanted security of tenure. And there were many examples of students who had young families and things like that who could be given a tenancy with limited security of tenure just by virtue of them being a student. So the view from them was pretty clear on that issue.
And the other issue I'm interested in, David, is landlords with properties in Scotland who don't actually live there. Do you find that you're coming across landlords who just aren't aware there's a register, for example?
Absolutely. If landlords think it was new, they don't know. Nobody, of course, knows how many landlords are unregistered. But when registration came in, the market became obviously hugely bigger than had been anticipated back in 2006. Of course, we know it's grown significantly since then. And it could be that at least 20% of landlords in Scotland are still not registered. But of course, nobody knows exactly what that figure is.
Okay, and we get the common complaint that all the good landlords end up registering and paying for work to find the bad landlords. But there's a concern in Scotland that nobody's found the bad landlords still. And in fact, not enough prosecutions are happening.
Yeah. Yes. There's been very few prosecutions. Indeed, the first few years, there were no prosecutions. That situation has changed, and indeed, some landlords have been removed from the register as well, which, of course, that is good news for good landlords and good news for good letting agents, because we want the poorest and those who are not fulfilling their obligations and their responsibilities, we want them removed from the market. And perhaps we hope that will go further when letting agent registration also comes in approximately 1 year's time. That will help the situation as well. But with all these things, the key is enforcement. The good landlords, the good letting agents will comply, the bad ones don't.
James, are you happy with the level of enforcement that we've seen in Scotland since the register was brought in 2006?
Yeah, I mean, David's absolutely right that this is this does boil down to enforcement. And I think it would be absolutely fair to say that this simply hasn't been enough of that. And you know, we see that through the calls to our helpline. We obviously see the kind of very worst practice in Scotland's private rented sector coming through on that. Yeah, there really does need to be more action on enforcement, and some thought needs to be given as to how that's funded as well. So yeah, I definitely agree with David in terms of that.
And Beth, and coming back to you and this point about contacting landlords who have properties in Wales but don't live there, what efforts has RentSmart Wales been making to try and capture them?
Well, a huge part of our marketing campaign has been focused on web advertising, and we have seen landlords from all over the world register. So the message is getting out there. The other method, of course, is to target tenants and relying on tenants to be then telling their landlords and giving those messages. In addition, we've relied on our stakeholders, and many, many landlords who are based outside the UK do employ agents. So agents have been very active working with us over the last 12 months to get the message out there. So we're cautiously pleased that the message is getting to those who need to know about it outside the UK.
Coming back to you finally, Richard Lambert, we've seen a few changes around Section 21 in England, because you now have to present a certain number of documents at the start of the tenancy, otherwise you can't serve a Section 21 for no-fault eviction as a landlord. We've also seen retaliatory eviction brought in as a result of Sarah Tether's campaign. Some landlords see this as kind of erosion of Section 21. Would you see it like that?
Not at all. I think you should actually come at it from the other direction. With the changes to tenancy deposit protection, over time, the government realised the only sanction that landlords who were flouting those laws took any notice of was the removal of the ability to use no-fault possession. So increasingly, as they've introduced new requirements, they've used that sanction as something which just underlines the fact that they really are serious. They want people to do it. Actually, if you think about what landlords are being asked to do, they're being asked to provide an energy performance certificate, a gas safety certificate, the government's booklet on how to rent, and the tenancy deposit information. All these are simply examples of best practice. And I really think it's taking it a bit far to say this is the thin end of the wedge. The real thin end of the wedge for landlords is the fact the government is manipulating the fiscal environment to actually push out the investment and eradicate the small landlord.
And do you think that actually overshadows these changes that are happening in the devolved countries, Scotland and Wales?
I think it's the backdrop to everything. In England, it's the main thing. The legislative changes in Scotland and Wales have a big practical day-to-day impact as and when they come in. For us as a national, a UK-wide organisation, it adds a level of complexity, because by the end of next year, we're going to have to try and make sure that we can give equal access to advice, information and all our services to landlords wherever they live in the UK and wherever their properties are in the UK. But that means that we have to deal with potentially four different legislative regimes.
Okay. Well, we've come to the end of the programme, and I'd like to thank my guests, Beth Ann Jones, Operations Manager from RentSmart Wales, David Kendall, Managing Director from Let's Make Homes, James Batty, Private Rented Sector Project Manager from Shelter Scotland, and Richard Lambert, Chief Executive Officer from the National Landlords Association. And thank you to you for listening. Inside Property is produced in collaboration with the National Landlords Association.